Welcome to the Lightning Round. Hey, I'm Lucas Kitchen. This is Grace in Focus. So, we are finishing our series on Hebrews called Hebrews Partners with Christ. And in this episode, we're doing what we're calling the Lightning Round. We're going to take a look at the big themes in Hebrews. Once again, our guest is Kenneth Yates. Let's go straight to today's discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're here with
Ken Yates.
And right now, we've gone through the book of Hebrews, but this is going to be a lightning round.
Right.
Now we're going to cover just one big theme from every chapter of the book. How does that sound, guys?
I can't remember. What show has lightning round?
I think that's Jeopardy or something, but... So we'll do one verse in each chapter. Each verse has a theme.
Right,
so you get 1 minute each, Ken. So
okay.
What's the big theme of Hebrews?
The big theme is rewards, of being a co-reigner with Christ, of being his partner. It has nothing to do with whether we're going to heaven or hell.
All right. That comes to the first verse, 1:9. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions, more than your metakoi.
Yes.
Explain that one to us.
That comes from Psalm 45. The author's quoting it. That is a marriage psalm where the king at his wedding feast will have companions, those who are particularly close to him. That's what the word metakoi means. It occurs a number of times in the book of Hebrews, particularly in chapter 3. What we have here is that when the king establishes his kingdom for those who have been faithful, they will be his partners, his metakoi.
So that's what Hebrews is about. Now let's move on.
2:3.
It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Now, the big idea here is that salvation here is not salvation from hell. It's not the point of justification. It's that eternal salvation that God has for us in his kingdom, where he wants us to rule with Christ as metakoi.
That's exactly right. And notice the author includes himself. How shall we escape? And the so great a salvation, it's so great because not only has God saved the believer from hell, but he offers them this deliverance through trials and tribulations that we can go to Christ and be one of his companions in the world to come.
Okay, how about 3:14, Hebrews 3:14?
For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end.
Notice the condition, if.
Yes, and here's that word, metakoi again.
That's
but
partakers.
Yes, we have become sharers with Christ. We become his partners with Christ. But in this verse, we just want to talk about if. And once again, notice the author includes himself. We have become, if we hold fast, the confidence firm until the end, the confidence that what God has promised he will do.
So if you want to be born again, that's a moment of faith. But if you want to be a partaker, a metakoi, you have to hold that confidence steadfast to the end.
That's right.
Perseverance. There.
And these readers are being persecuted. They need to hold fast.
Chapter 4.
4:13.
And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So that's the basis of the judgment that will reveal whether or not we are metakoi or not.
Yes, there was coming a day when, as we talked about in that session, the word account, and that's the way it should be, we're going to give an account to him. But it literally says to whom we will have a word. God will have his word with us at the judgment seat of Christ to whether we held fast, if we were faithful to him. And that is exactly what the author is talking
about.
And
what is this business about no creature?
There is no creature hidden before him.
Does that look at both the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment, all humans?
I don't remember being asked that. That's a good question, Bob. Let's see. I think he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ here, just as I look at it just briefly. Yeah.
Right. I would tend to think it's looking at the judgment seat of Christ, but the beginning part is broad enough to include the great white throne, too.
Well, the beginning part, I think, is just a reflection of God's omniscience. No creature is hidden from his sight.
Right. So not only humans, but all creatures.
Yeah, he just knows.
Okay. All right. I stand corrected. Thanks, guys. Where are we now? Chapter what?
5.
5:6, we got this guy named Melchizedek. Melchizedek, we call him.
You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, interesting guy. He had two roles.
Yes, and we see this in verses 5 and 6. The author quotes from Psalm 2, where Jesus is the king. But it also says in verse 7, as he quotes from Psalm 110, that the king, the Messiah, is also going to be a priest. And Melchizedek, that interesting guy in Genesis 14, was both king and priest, and that is what Jesus Christ is for us.
Very good.
In fact, his priesthood made way. His priesthood allows him to be a king, right? Because the priesthood redeems the people who are then going to rule with him.
Yes.
Right. He has to have a people to rule over. Chapter 6 and verse 4 and the warning passage here. This is the third warning passage, and 6:4.
Yes, it's talking about those who have been enlightened. And as we talked about in a previous session, being enlightened is a description of when they became believers. So this is another indication that he is writing to believers. There's many indications in the book of Hebrews that he's writing to people who are truly saved. And in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 4 talks about coming to faith as being enlightened to the truth.
So when a person is enlightened to the truth, he knows the promise of John 3:16 or John 5:24 is true. He sees it as true.
Yes, he is convinced of the truth of that, and that's what it means to believe.
Okay.
Yes.
Chapter 7 and verse 25. And you're doing great, Ken. Keep it going. Keep it going. Don't pass out before we get to 13.
Therefore, he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
This is another example we see in the book of Hebrews that the word saved is not talking about saved from hell. This is in the midst of the discussion on Jesus Christ being our high priest. If the believer comes to Jesus Christ, he is able to deliver him in every possible way, through difficulties, through trials, through persecutions, so that that person can be a fellow heir with Christ. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost, much more than even just saving us from hell.
Okay, chapter 8 and verse 8.
Because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So the new covenant is better than the old covenant. In fact, the old covenant anticipated a better covenant that was coming, that was going to pass away.
Yes, from Jeremiah 31, even the Old Testament said a new covenant was coming. I don't think we really talked about this in our session, but it needs to be said. Well, maybe we did. I can't remember. But the new covenant, it says specifically in Jeremiah 31, and also as the author quotes it, it is with Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. God is not done with the nation of Israel, Romans 9 through 11. And the day would come when all Israel will be delivered from the tribulation period as they're a believing nation.
Okay, chapter 9 and verse 28.
So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation.
And I'm particularly emphasizing the eagerly waiting for him.
Yes, there is a salvation here that is for those who eagerly await the Lord. And so once again, this is not salvation from hell, because when you believe in Jesus, you receive it right then. But there's a salvation that is in the future. And this, of course, in the book of Hebrews is talking about reigning with Christ. And Paul also spoke about a crown that will be for those who love the appearing of the Lord. This is what the author is dealing with as well. Rewards.
Very good. How about 10:25, a very famous verse?
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
I don't think we really dealt much with that, but the day approaching here is when we stand before the Lord, the Lord's return to come get us, and the judgment seat of Christ. The Christian life should be lived in light of the fact that one day we will appear at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the way we lived. That has nothing to do with going to heaven or hell, because we'll already be with the Lord on that day.
Very good. Chapter 11 and verse 6. I know this is one of Sean's favorite verses.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So that brings out this idea that Hebrews is about rewards. In fact, you can't please God unless you believe that he's someone who rewards.
Yes, and rewards are not something that are selfish. We're commanded to do it, and it pleases God to take him at his word, that he will reward his children who faithfully serve him.
All right, how about chapter 12? And you're almost there, two to go. Chapter 12 and verse 6.
For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So this community that the author was writing to was on the brink of maybe apostatizing to a brand of Judaism, and they were going to suffer if they did that. And it's true that if any believer strays from the Lord, drifts away from the Lord's going to chasten them.
Yes, the Lord disciplines his children. As we saw, he quotes in this chapter here, in this context, from Proverbs chapter 3, that a good father does everything that's necessary to raise up a child in what he wants him to be. Well, the Lord wants us to be co-reigners with Christ. And the original readers were to look at the things that they were going through as God's loving discipline in their life as he was training them into the roles that they would have in Christ's kingdom.
All right, how about 13:17?
Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So this ties in with the importance of this being a corporate effort. You know, as a group, they were drifting into Judaism. As a group, they should be assembling together. As a group, they should be watching over each other. If someone's in prison, watch over them. As a group, they should be exhorting one another. And so here we have, you should submit to the leaders of the group, I guess.
Probably elders in the local church, right?
Yes. And notice they will give an account. We saw that earlier. Every believer will give an account, and here one of the things that we see is that the elders or the leaders within the church, that's one of the things that the Lord is going to discuss with them when he has his word with them at the judgment seat of Christ. So whatever role we have, that's what we should keep in mind.
That is very good. I really have enjoyed this lightning round. For those of you who haven't already heard the whole series, I'm sure this has whetted your appetite for it. We encourage you to go back and listen to it at our website or Stitcher or what else, Sean?
iTunes.
And you can catch up on the entire series. This has been a very profitable series, one you can use for your Sunday school class, one you can use for your home Bible study or discipleship group. I think it's just very, very practical. And we want to so thank Ken for flying in to be here with us.
It's great being with you guys.
Thank you, gentlemen. What a great discussion. Hebrews and its big themes. It was a lightning round, and Dr. Yates, if it matters, I think you did quite well. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we have an exciting treat. Dr. Kenneth Yates is going to be back with us. And we are going to depart from the Hebrews series, but we've got something special planned, so you're going to want to tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.